Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. There are a number of us missing because of colds and illness and family visiting and all kinds of things, but we are grateful to all of you who are here as we gather to worship. A reminder that ours is an open communion when we welcome all to Christ's table as Christ has welcomed us. And a reminder that we share in our offerings to God by placing our gifts in the offering tray at the sanctuary doors or by mailing our gifts to the church office. Also, this is the first week of receiving our special offering for reconciliation. You'll see the bulletin insert about that with the theme, Visions of Wholeness, We Are the Beloved God is Waiting For. We are both blessed and challenged to live into our faith and our love for our God. So let us give as generously as we are able. Next Sunday, following worship and our fellowship time, there will be an elders meeting. I just want to get some dates together for the fall. If you can believe that Christmas is only 3 months away. And in my calendar, that's even less Sundays. So it's time to get moving and thinking. Also next Sunday will be the installation of Reverend Dr. Kate Galluli as pastor of Heights Christian Church. The service will be held at Hare Chapel at Plymouth Church in Shaker Heights at 11 a.m., where the Heights congregation is nesting with the Plymouth Church congregation. So if any of you are interested in seeing how that works, you are welcome to go and attend on behalf of Parma Christian Church at 11 a.m. Dick and Marianne and I, as well as Beth and Laura Barnacle, I don't know her last name.
Maybe
you got
it.
Huh?
That was right.
Okay. I thought Laura had a different last name.
Yeah, but
we all attended the Ohio Regional Assembly at Camp Christian yesterday. You may have noticed the nice little certificate that has been framed sitting on the table in the doors to the sanctuary, because Dick was honored with that certificate lauding his 40 plus years of service to the region as CYF conference photographer. It was a celebration. It was a great day of celebration and praise, and a lot of people were greeting poor Dick, who was also the regional assembly photographer, and so he kept that camera in between him and people, but they were through all kinds of people, from their own camp days to their kids' camp days, and knowing how much of an active service he gave to those 4 weeks of conference every summer for at least 40 years, plus the years of counseling, plus, I know there's a couple people, because I put it on my Facebook page that said, I'm sure it's been more than 40, because they remembered being a counselor, and in the old dining hall, there's a new dining hall now, so it was the only dining hall we knew. Dick would get up on the roof of the dining hall and take pictures of all the kids, because the conferees, there were so many of them, that was the only way that we could get them all in one picture. So he would do that for every conference. And I remember those days, having to look up at Woody on the roof of the dining hall. So we are blessed as a region and as a congregation to have Dick working and serving among us. And I'm sure you all know his love and care for Camp Christian. So it was good to be there yesterday. Sorry, you may have missed it. You have anything you want to say?
I just tell people, you know, they go way back. I said, I was there when Jesus was a convert.
I'm sure it feels like that sometimes, without a doubt. And with that, let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. This morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, reading from the 16th chapter, verses 19 through 31. Hear these words. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Thanks be to God for these words as they come to us from the Gospel of Luke. This parable about Lazarus and the rich man is unique to the Gospel of Luke. It gives us rich folk some serious things to think about. Now, in case you just flinched because I called us rich folk, let me remind you that most of us indeed fall into the top 1% of the world's richest people. It's been said, we are so well off here in the United States that our poverty line begins 31 times above the global average. 31 times. Virtually no one in the United States is considered poor by global standards. Yet in a time where we can order a product off Amazon with one click and have it at our doorstep the next day or even the same day, we are unappreciative, dissatisfied, ungrateful. Verses 25 and 26 of today's gospel gives us the sole explanation of this unnamed rich man's torment and of Lazarus being gathered to Abraham. During your lifetime, you received good things, and Lazarus likewise received evil things. And now he is being comforted here, but you are suffering. And in all these things, there's a great divide set up between us and your people so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. When it's all boiled down, we see it as a financial divide between the haves and the have-nots, between those who feast and those who hunger. And unfortunately, that still exists today. There's still a vast chasm between rich and poor, one that is growing even here within the United States. And this Sunday's gospel warns us in the sternest possible terms not to establish a chasm beyond which we neither look nor work for reconciliation and justice. Looking hard at this text will, it's been said, put the fear of God in us. But the difference between the fear of God and just plain fear is that while fear causes us to retreat or to become paralyzed, the fear of God motivates us and empowers us to do something, to live into the kingdom of God, into God's justice, into God's peace and freedom. And we here in our Sunday best, even if it's only figuratively, we pat ourselves on the back and we talk about all the good work we do, all the gifts we give, that we're not like the rich man at all. And yes, we give our tithes and offerings, and we give above and beyond to help the other, whoever they are, and we do good work. We distribute food to those who need it once a month. We provide cakes and water to the homeless. And yet we're well aware there's more to do. But there's another part of this story that I think we must think about and recognize. Perhaps it's not simply that the man is rich or that he demonstrates no compassion toward Lazarus, although both are true, but rather that he doesn't really see Lazarus and doesn't relate to him as a fellow child of God. Even after Lazarus has died, he still assumes Lazarus will do his bidding, even if it has to be in the hereafter. How many people do we pass by on a daily basis and never really see? Every single day. The words to the song "Mr. Cellophane" from Chicago has been ringing in my head all week as I have read this scripture over and over. Those words, "You can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there." How many people are singing that to us? Martin Luther King Jr., in talking about this text, said the rich man went to hell because he allowed Lazarus to become invisible, because he failed to use his wealth to bridge the gulf that separated him from his brother Lazarus. King pointed to the assertion that this text really is about vision, a text where Jesus calls us to the fact that every day we pass by people who are in desperate need, sometimes obvious, sometimes not, and the result is the same. Their needs are not met. These people, these children of God, remain trapped in fear and loneliness. The reason poverty is so difficult and the chasm so wide is that it's difficult to look into the eyes of people who are not so different from us as we would like to believe. It's difficult to hear their stories, to walk with them in their struggles, and see, to really see the pain living in their eyes. On this first Sunday of our reconciliation offering, we would do well to remember that. We would do well to remember that as we give our gifts today and this week and this month, as we work through various outreach opportunities, that there are faces and eyes and names on the other side of this divide that we, yes, we have created. And to remember that Jesus didn't tell us this parable to scare the hell out of us, but in order that we might change the way we are living here and now on this side of heaven. May we open our eyes and truly see the other that we seek to help, and work toward true compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience, and equality. May we truly pray and take the words of John Donne to heart, words that I was reminded of in two different funeral services for Queen Elizabeth II just a week ago. "Bring us, O Lord God, at our last awakening into the house and gate of heaven, to enter that gate and dwell in that house where there shall be no darkness or dazzling, but one equal light, no noise nor silence, but one equal music, no fears nor hopes, but one equal possession, no ends nor beginnings, but one equal eternity in the habitation of the glory and dominion, world without end. Amen." Thanks be to God.